Okay, good afternoon. The lesson today is about the single event level, which is a concept related to the equivalent level, but slightly different. Now we try to start. Okay. It's also called SEL, which is the acronym for single event level. You know that in England and United States, they have this attitude to always abbreviate the name of the thing with these three-letter acronyms, which is something which I personally hate. There are a lot of those three-letter things, and you can very easily confuse each with the other. So here we, in Italy, we prefer to be more prolix, more long, and to always spell completely the name of the thing. So we will not call it the cell. We will call it the single event level, okay? SEL is the short for single event level. The concept of SEL is strictly connected with the concept of the equivalent level. You know that while the instantaneous sound pressure level change with time according to the passage of vehicles or airplanes or whatever else, so in general, the sound pressure level is not continuous and constant, but it is variable. Indeed, you can define an equivalent level as the constant value which, standing the same for the same period, will give you the same acoustical energy. So the word equivalent means an energetic equivalence. The two profiles, the flat one and the variable one, have the same energy. Now that you compute the total energy of your profile, of your time history, you can pack the whole energy in 1 second. So the concept is, instead of having the same energy over the same duration t of your measurement, which can be 1 minute, 1 hour, or the whole day, okay? Instead of having the energy spread uniformly over this long period, we repack the same amount of energy in just 1 second. Of course, the number becomes very big, becomes larger and larger. The more large, the more long is the measurement. The longer the measurement, the louder will be the value of SEL. Not because the noise is more noisy. The noise was always the same, more or less. But if you integrate over a longer time, you integrate more energy. And when you pack all this energy in just 1 second, the level will go up. So, coming back to our picture with our variable level, which is the real thing, the equivalent level, which is a constant value having the same energy, we pack in just 1 second the area of this rectangle, we shorten the base of the rectangle, and of course the height must increase. Of course, this is a logarithmic scale. So, as you see from the chart, you see the area on the chart looks much bigger. But you have to remember the energetic scale. Every 3 decibel more on this vertical scale means doubling the energy. So, in reality, yes, it's true, the value is bigger, but it is not thousands of times bigger, okay? Because, for example, if you measure for 1 hour, you are measuring for 3,600 seconds. But the numerical value is multiplied by 3,600, but by it is added, not multiplied, and the quantity added is 10 times the logarithm of 3,600. Okay, which is just 20 or 25 decibels. No? So it increases, of course, the cell is much larger than LQ, but not so incredibly bigger as the definition could suggest. Usually, we measure the single event level, and the name of single event level comes from this tradition of measuring this quantity when a single vehicle is passing through, is the so-called pass-through test. This can be done with aircraft, like in this example, with road vehicle, motorcycle, cars, truck, and so on, with rail vehicles like train, metro, trams, so this kind of vehicles running on rails. For all these three categories of vehicles, it can also be done for boats, actually, both in air and underwater. So when a boat is passing, you can measure in air with a sound level meter and underwater with an hydrophone this kind of profile, which is then packed in the concept of cell. What is the concept? The concept is, it doesn't matter how long is this profile and how large is the maximum instantaneous level reached in the moment of maximum proximity to the receiver. What matters is the total energy you get for being subjected to the passage of one vehicle. So, in a certain sense, the concept of cell allows to relieve your computation by the knowledge of the speed of the vehicle and of the detail of this profile, because this profile looks quite regular. For different vehicles having different directivity, while the vehicle is passing, the profile can become strongly asymmetric. In the direction of maximum emission, you get louder noise, and when you are in the direction of lower emission, you get a smaller noise level. This doesn't matter in the end. Once the vehicle is passed, the total energy which that vehicle has given you is one single amount, one single number, the single event level. That is the concept. So the details of the profile don't matter. The area subtended under the profile is what matters, because that is the energy. This is the concept. We did already introduce at the beginning of the course, when doing outdoor propagation, the noise from linear source. And I have already told you that typical line source are transportation infrastructures like roads or railways. We have seen the free field propagation formula for a continuous line source. The continuous line source is a mathematical abstraction. Real world line sources are never really continuous and infinite. This is, of course, an abstraction. In this abstraction, we have two different possibilities, the coherent emission and the incoherent emission. The coherent emission is like a pipe which pulsates, becomes filled, so it becomes bigger, and then shrinks, becomes smaller. With the same motion law, everywhere simultaneously on the pipe. So all the length of the pipe becomes bigger, and all the length of the pipe becomes smaller. That is a pulsating cylinder, and this radiates a coherent emission, and making this kind of integral, making the numerical computation, or the in this case it is analytical, because this solution is analytical, is not numerical, you get this result. The sound pressure level at a distance d from the line source is given by LW first. Here it's very small, I don't know if you see here, but there is I don't know the name, apostrophe, I don't know, those things. And this means that this is the power level per meter of line source. So it's not the total power level, because this is an infinitely long line source. So the total power is infinite by definition. It's an infinite source, it has an infinite power. But if you look at the power being radiated by one single meter of the line, this is defined as LV first. LW first is the power level per meter. And this is the formula. This is a cylindrical field. And in a cylindrical field, the level decays with distance, of course. Going far from the source, the sound becomes weak. And the decay is 3 decibels per doubling distance. While for a point source, a spherical field, the decay is larger. You decay 6 decibels per doubling distance. For a line source, the decay is just 3 decibels every time you double the distance from your source. If the source is instead radiating incoherently, that means that every point of the source radiates independently by the other points, so they are not really one single source, but are an infinity of very small independent noise source, completely uncorrelated, random phase. When the sound radiated by those millions of microscopic sources sum together with this kind of integral at the receiving point, the summation results in a value which is approximately 2 decibels louder than the coherent source. So the incoherent emission of the same power is actually producing a sound pressure level which is 2 dB louder. 2 dB louder, more strong. Apparently this is meaningless, because given an amount of energy, you expect the same effect. And a coherent emission apparently should be the most efficient one. In reality, what happens is that with random phase, so independent source emission, the energy always sums at the receiver, because you have an energy summation and energy is a positive quantity. So they all add together. When you have coherent emission, half of the length of the source radiates in opposite phase than the most short distance radiation. So if you look along the x-axis, you can think there are a number of positively radiating and negatively radiating regions. So here perhaps you have positive, then there is a negative region, then there is a positive region, while the phase is changing. Well, the radiation phase is always positive, negative, positive, negative, okay, alternating. This is looking from the receiver, because the distance of propagation changes. Changing the distance changes the time the sound takes for making this distance. When the time is an odd number of half a period, the phase of the sound coming from here to here is opposite than the phase of the direct sound. So it cancels out, actually. So the summation, while you sum energy, energy is always positive. When you sum pressure, because this is a phased coherent emission, this pressure summation can be either additive or destructive. And when it is destructive, it takes away. In the end of the integral, you make the summation, you end with this result. The incoherent emission is 2 decibels louder than the coherent emission. Okay? And still the source is continuous. But in the real world, this is the concept of cylindrical field, you see. And this is the demonstration, the analytical demonstration of the current emission formula. But we can trust this. We did already explain the cylindrical field at the beginning of the course. So this is just a copy of a slide which was already presented more than 1 month ago. In the real world, the source are not continuous. They are always discrete. We have the wheels of a train. The noise source of the train are mostly the wheels rolling over the rails. So every wheel is a discrete source. And the train is a sequence of wheels, discrete source. The same for cars. Cars or road vehicles generally. Road vehicles along the road are discrete sources spaced by, on average, a certain distance A. Typically, for fluent traffic, the distance tend to become more or less the same between each vehicle and the next. There is some stupid driver who stays too close to the preceding vehicle, and this is causing accidents and deaths and so on. There are also some other stupid driver who drives too slowly, and so it stays too much detached from the preceding vehicle and is continuously being surpassed. And again, this is dangerous. The optimal condition for safety, if all the vehicles march more or less at the same speed and they all keep a safety distance between each vehicle and the next. In this case, if you know the power of a single vehicle, you can very easily compute LW first, because you simply dilute the power of one of these vehicles over the piece of road, over the length of this piece of road, which is the average distance between one vehicle and the next. So this formula here produces LW1. And of course the formula is the one for incoherent sources, because every vehicle is different from the other. Every one radiates a completely independent noise. So it is incoherent energy summation, and this is the formula giving you the sound pressure level of a road being traveled by cars, everyone having this LWP of a single vehicle diluted over the distance A. We can very easily compute the distance A, which now is called D. Okay, sorry for that. No, sorry, not sorry. Let me correct this. Excuse me. This was called distance A, and distance A is given simply by the speed of vehicles in kilometers per hour. So, it's now large scale, sorry. Okay, sorry. So the distance is given by the speed divided the number of vehicles which pass in 1 hour. In these examples is a urban condition inside the city, inside the town. The limit speed was 50 km per hour, and we assume that the cars are running at this limit speed. The flux of vehicles, the number of vehicles per hour is 500, and the power level of each car is 90 decibels. In this case, you easily compute the distance between one vehicle and the next, and this distance is 100 meters. As you see from this formula, the distance increases linearly with speed for a given number of vehicles. This is not the formula which you are taught when you take your driving license. They told you to keep a distance from the previous vehicle which is proportional to the square of your speed. So when you double the speed of the car, you should multiply by 4 the distance, the safety distance from the preceding vehicle. This is what you are taught at driving school. And this is for safety reason, but it is not consistent with the fluid dynamics law, the mass conservation law, we call it in hydraulics. So if a number of vehicles have to go through a road at a certain speed, no matter what will be the safety distance, on average they will keep this distance. No way. They cannot jump over each other. If they want to keep a longer distance, they must reduce the speed. Because if not, they cannot stay on the road together simultaneously. There are limits to this linear law, of course. This only works for intermediate speed. At very low speed, you, with this formula, you will get a value which is definitely too short, because the vehicle should pack together and jump over the other. So it cannot hold. This formula only holds above a certain minimum speed, which is called the free flow speed. When the speed reduces under the free flow speed, the traffic is congested. And with the congested traffic, there is no flow, no continuous flow. The vehicle stops, waits, then moves again, so it is a completely different situation. Let's discard this case. Let me only consider current flow, flow which is free flow. The car runs continuously without never stopping, without ever stopping. Okay? So in this situation, the computation is easy. You know the power of the vehicle. You dilute this power over the distance A, and at this point you get LW first, and then you dilute this LW first over the surface of a cylinder of radius R, and with the minus 6 dB, because it is in current summation. And this way, you, with this data, you make this very quick calculation, and you find that your sound pressure level at a distance of 50 meters, you see, at a distance of 50 meters, you get 47 dBA. What will be the level at 100 meters? Can you answer to this? If it was 47 at 50 meters, how large will be the sound pressure level doubling the distance at 100 meters? 44. 44, 3 decibels less, because doubling the distance, the level reduced by 3 decibels. Okay? Now, let we use the cell for analyzing the flow of vehicles over the road. Okay, this was the Fokker, an aircraft. But when a vehicle passes, the situation is the same. You make a measurement which gets completely the tails of this profile, of reversed V profile is called. Is a V down. You should integrate for a time long enough to getting the complete tail. You make this integral, this equivalent level measurement. The integration is made by the instrument, not by you. So you start, you measure for 50 seconds, you stop, you see the LQ value on the display. And at this point, you pack your LQ in a value of cell. The nice thing is that while the LQ value depends on how long was the measurement, because if you made a longer measurement, for example, starting here and integrating for a much longer profile until here, and of course the profile here will continue with the background noise, actually. So So you could say, okay, this background noise is so weak compared with the vehicle noise that it doesn't matter. Ah, but the time of integration matters. As long as you integrate, the more you dilute this energy over a longer time. So the equivalent level becomes smaller. Okay? And the longer the integration time, the smaller will be the LQ. Instead, when you repack everything in 1 second, the total energy is substantially irrelevant. It's the same. So the nice thing of cell is that it is a foolproof measurement. Even if the experimenter was not careful to only measure during the true passage of the vehicle, but it also integrates longer or shorter tails of background noise before and after the passage, the value of cell stays unchanged. So it's a very robust quantity. Single event level is very easy to measure, very robust, and you can really well characterize the noise of a vehicle measuring itself. It doesn't depend on directivity, and more or less it doesn't depend a lot on speed. At low speed, the cell value is almost constant. So, what is the relationship between cell and the power level of the vehicle? As we know, the equivalent level of the vehicle from the computation made here you see the equivalent level as a function of the power of one single vehicle. Of course, here in A, there is also the information of speed and number of vehicles. But in the end, when you substitute here the information about the speed and the number of vehicles, and this 1,000 is there because the speed is in kilometers per hour, okay? While Q is in vehicle per hour. So you have this information packed here, and you see that the equivalent level, of course, is proportional to the power of a single vehicle. Now, if you measure the cell at the standard reference distance for the pass-by vehicle test, which is 7.5 meters, you place the sound level meter at this distance from the center of the vehicle, and we only consider one vehicle passing because it is a single event level. So you must refer to only one vehicle passing. So Q by definition is one. You get this formula here. Cell is LQ plus 10 times logarithm the time, which is 1 hour, because we made a very, very long integral, a 1 hour integral, profiting of the fact that the value of cell does not depend on the integration time. And you get this equation here. In this equation, there is still the speed as the only variable, actually, because all the other are fixed number, you see. So the final relationship is that single event level is equal to power level minus a constant, which happened to be 9.99, okay, a constant number, minus 10 times the logarithm of speed. So in practice, the noise produced by a vehicle, according with this formula, is reducing with the speed of vehicle because the profile becomes shorter, and shortening the profile makes the area subtended smaller. So it appears from this formula that if the power level stays constant, increasing the speed will reduce the noise, which is something completely counterintuitive. Most people think that instead reducing the speed will also reduce the noise. That is what most people think. And that's wrong. Reducing the speed increases the noise because the profile length becomes very long, so the vehicle stays there forever. and you get noise for a much longer time. This is the concept expressed here. Of course, the power level is not constant. For a constant value of LV, the cell decreases with the speed. But, and this is due to the shortening of the length of the profile. So here it was mathematically computed the profile as instantaneous pressure level for the running time, you see. With the Pythagoras theorem, the distance is computed and the distance changes with time while the vehicle is running on the road. But the sound power level is not constant. Or better, for small speed, yes, the sound power level of the vehicle is more or less constant because it depends only on the mechanical part of the vehicle, the engine and so on. For larger speed, rolling noise intervenes and later on aerodynamic noise intervenes. We see it better with a logarithmic axis here for the speed. At constant speed and below 30 km per hour, the sound power level is constant. In this area here, between 30 and 60 km per hour, the sound power level increases very slightly, 1 decibel, due to the rolling noise. Above 70 km per hour, the sound power level of the vehicle starts increasing quite robustly, quite significantly, with 6 decibels per doubling speed, and this is aerodynamics noise. Okay? So this is the typical behavior of engine-driven vehicles, like cars, truck, motorcycle, and so on. Every type of vehicle has this limit range changing slightly. Those values are typical for a normal car. For trucks, everything is at smaller speeds. For motorcycle, the curve is partially right, but the concept stays the same. So, making a car running faster, the red one is the high speed, 70 km per hour. The blue line is 50 km per hour, and the pink line is 30 km per hour. The maximum, the instantaneous maximum sound pressure level at the receiver increase with increasing speed. But the area subtended by the chart decrease. This means that going from 30 to 50 and from 50 to 70, the single event level reduce. You see the single event level in this case computed at 50 meters, but it's the same at every distance. The distance doesn't change the speed at which you get the minimum. Simply changing the distance bring this curve up or down depending if you go close or far from the source. But the shape of the curve is the same. It depends on these two factors. One, that the speed generally reduces the single event level because the time profile becomes shorter, but if the sound power level starts increasing as it happens above 70 km per hour, then you come back, you lose a part of the advantage of increasing speed. So in the end, the single event level has a minimum around 70 km per hour with today vehicles. This speed, this optimal speed, we call it, is tending to increase year after year. The more silent are the vehicle, the more convenient is to make run faster. Electric vehicle, for example, has this critical speed around 100 km per hour. So the technology is evolving. We have now hybrid vehicles and so on. And this technology evolution is pushing the optimal speed at tiger values for reducing noise pollution. I must say that exactly the same facts apply to chemical pollution. The emission in the atmosphere or pollutants like benzene or like aromatic hydrocarbons or like microscopic powder and so on are also affected by a very similar law. At very low speed, when all the vehicles are packed together, you get a terrible smoke which never goes away. So it is not the optimal condition to reduce the speed. Increasing the speed, the distance between each vehicle and the other increase, and this makes the air more clean. There is more air between one vehicle and the next. So the emission dilutes in a wider volume of air. So the concentration of these pollutants reduces. If you increase too much the speed, the engine is requiring too much power for winning over the resistance of the vehicle, and again you start emitting more, and then you have not the same benefit with increasing speed. And the two optimal speeds are usually very close to each other. So in practice, with current technology, today vehicles, the urban limit of 50 km per hour is completely wrong. It was correct 50 years ago, or 30 years ago. But nowadays, we could get great environmental benefit, both on noise pollution and on chemical pollution, allowing the cars to run faster in our urban areas. Bringing the speed limit to 70 km per hour instead of 50, more or less halves the pollution. That means reducing the noise by 3 decibels, which perhaps doesn't look to such a large benefit, but reduce the concentration of chemical pollutants to half the value we have now, just for increasing the speed from 50 to 70 km per hour. The problem is that this concept is not known. Only a small number of technicians are aware of these facts. Most people, even people who are professional researchers in the field of environment, people who take the degree in environmental science, people who work at the planning office of the municipality of our cities, they are not aware of this fact. They are still of the idea that reducing speed reduces pollution, and they still promote the 30 km per hour zone, and they create any sort of barriers for forcing the vehicles to slow down, and this causes a lot of pollution, both noise and both chemical pollution. It's the completely wrong direction. So I try here to bring this information to you, hoping that in some year some of you will be in the key position to take decision for your town and to make the good choice to allow the speed to increase. Of course, for allowing the speed to increase, you must take in proper safety countermeasures. You must make the pedestrian crossing safer, using light and using system which regulate the traffic over pedestrian, like traffic light with the push button, similar things. Because if not, the people is killed by those faster vehicles. And you must work on the road surface, employing a new generation of road surface which allows smaller braking distance when the pavement is wet, when it is raining like today. So you have to spend money for allowing the speed to increase, keeping safety. If you just change your road sign for a larger speed limit without taking action on the infrastructure itself, of course it becomes less safe.
You need to create pedestrian paths and bicycle paths perfectly separated by the road. Only this way you can allow cars to run faster inside the city. But if you do that, the pollution in our city will reduce. So, and the benefit is so large that it is important to take this action. Okay? So again, here now the scale is linear, but you see the same concept. The optimal value is around here, 70 kilometers per hour, more or less. And the final concept of this lesson is the personal exposure level. Here we are not talking anymore about vehicles. We are talking about a worker doing any kind of work, perhaps even driving a vehicle, because also that is a work. But working, like me, I am working today, so I am exposed to noise. So we are talking about the exposure to noise of everyone who is working. Who is working like this day in a disco, he is exposed to a very loud noise. Who is working in a steel factory, hammering over a piece of steel all the day. Those are very, very noisy jobs. There are other jobs which apparently are not so noisy, like working in an office. But in some cases, working in an office can be a really noisy environment. So in the end of the day, there is a limit on how much noise a worker can get during his workday. And this limit is expressed by the concept of the personal exposure level. The personal exposure level is like the cell, the single event level, but instead of packing the whole day of exposure in 1 second, you are packing, or if you prefer, you are normalizing the energy you have received in 8 hours, where 8 hours is the standardized duration of a workday. So in practice, in this example, it was a very long workday lasting perhaps 10 or 11 hours, because not all the people work 8 hours per day. There is people working only 4. They are part-time employees. There are other people making extraordinary hours after the normal work hours, and they are paid, of course, for these extraordinary hours, but in the end of the day, they work 10 hours. So at this point, you don't compute the equivalent level for 10 hours. You repack your energy in a shorter time, in this case, which is just 8 hours. So, of course, packing to a shorter base boosts the level. And in this case, let is larger than LQ. Okay? If instead you was a part-time worker working only 4 hours, then in that case you will dilute your energy received in just 4 hours, you dilute it in 8 hours, so you will reduce the level of 3 decibels. If you have an equivalent level of 83 for 4 hours, the personal exposure level LEP will be 3 dB less, because 4 hours are diluted to 8. In this example here, instead we are packing from 10 to 8, and when you pack from 10 to 8, of course the level increase by, say, 1 decibel, more or less. Okay? This is the concept of the personal exposure level. The relationship between the personal exposure level and the equivalent level is exactly the same as the relationship between the single event level and the LQ. The only difference is that for cell, here we have 1 second, and instead for LEP, here we have 8 hours, which in second make 8 × 3600. Okay? So here we have an example of our worker, which during the work day did work for 10 hours, okay, at different sound pressure level for different times, because during the day we ask this worker to make different mansions, to make different jobs. Here perhaps it was making some quite weak work at the desk, so the sound pressure level was small. In this 3 period he was inside an office working at a desk. Here he's doing something more active. Here he's making photocopies, for example, and the photocopy machine is noisy. Here he's not anymore in the office. He went in the mechanical workshop for supervising the work of the people wielding mechanical piece. So staying aside a machinery doing mechanical parts, the noise level is much louder. Then he comes back to the office, and then here perhaps he takes a meeting in a meeting room. Okay? So in the end of the day he did work 10 hours, and during this 10 hours he has got this exposure profile. This is the exposure profile of a worker. It is a personal exposure profile. The employer must build this exposure profile for every one of his workers. It's personal, so everyone will be different. It's impossible that all the workers get the same exposure profile. Apart the rare case when you have several employees which say exactly the same mansions for the whole day. This can happen in the large factory of the past when there was serious production and the worker did stay all the 8 hours doing all the same thing, always the same things, and so the exposure was locked. But in most cases the exposure is variable, like here. And the colleague of this guy will have a different exposure profile. For every worker, for every day, you should recompute the profile. You should. In practice, what you do is to build a typical exposure profile for every worker, and the law requires that this profile is updated at least once a year or whenever dimensions change, which typically means 2-3 times per year, typically in Italian employer case. So it's quite normal that this exposure profile, each worker has to know his exposure profile. So whenever the employer recomputes the profile, he must communicate the result of this computation to the worker. So every worker should know what is his personal exposure level, this number. Perhaps he doesn't know the detail of the profile, but he must know the final number, which is this one, which in this case, as you see, is 1 dB louder than the equivalent level. So, and here we are already anticipating the next 2 hours. A typical exercise for the examination, which incidentally was actually the exercise which I gave to the students this morning in my office when he got the examination, it was actually this exercise, to compute the equivalent level and the exposure level, given the times and the level which build the exposure profile. So let me explain how this formula is computed. These kind of terms here represent energy, because 10 raised to the level divided 10, here it was 10 rising to 75/10. This means square pressure in the definition of decibel. And square pressure is proportional to energy. So those terms here are the energy associated to each of these exposures. Are the height, for being precise. This one is the eighth of this rectangle in terms of energy. Of course, for getting the area, you must multiply for the base of this rectangle. One is the base. So the area of a rectangle is the base multiplied by the eight. So this is the base. And this is the eight. Base per eight give you area. Here the same. One is the base. 10 raised to 8 is the height of this rectangle. This is wider, and here you see 2. 2 are the hours, okay? 2 hours multiply the same 8 as the first, because the 8 here is the same, but the base is twice. So the area here is twice, and so on. So, above the fractional line, you have the total areas of this profile. If you sum all those areas, you get what is here above the fractional line. Below the fractional line, you have the total time. In this case of equivalent level, you have 10 hours. So you will get a single rectangle with a certain average height, which is the equivalent level, and with the same basis, 10 hours. Here instead you divide by just 8 hours, and you get a shorter rectangle with a larger value, because now the time is 8 hours, so the constant value giving the same area will be 1 dB more. Is it clear? This is the computation which you have to do at examination. Okay? It's a typical question exercise, written exercise at the exam. Any question? Okay. We have the break.